You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Well, praise the Lord, men, women of God, mighty men and women of valor. We thank God for you today. We thank God for his goodness, his mercies, his loving kindness, his grace, his supernatural ability, his power. Oh, glory to God. All of those things and more and above. Hallelujah. This is Thomas Robinson, Kingdom Sounds. We're a ministry out of Victory International Praise. I have a wonderful man of God that I've been knowing for a very long time. As a matter of fact, I came up in his grandmother's church, and we have been friends for a while now. And I asked him to come and to speak and let the Lord use him, and I took the bands off of him. I said, well, I can't even think of, but I said, hey, let the Lord have his way. I took the restraints, no restraints. Lord, have your way, you know. I threw a topic out there at him, but I'm just believing that God is going to have his way. Anyways, we thank God for WWBC, WMIE, Brother Danny down here at the radio station, and they're having a fundraiser this week. And we want you to be a blessing. Give generously. I remember several, if not a couple of years ago, I was driving down the street, and they were talking about the fundraiser, and the Lord moved my heart. And I came by the radio station, and I sowed a seed. And what's the address down here, Brother Dan? 1150 West King Street. 1150 West King Street. So if the Lord moves your heart, you know, sometimes we try to ignore the checks that we get in our spirit. Amen, somebody. Oh, glory to God. You're around there talking about my spirit don't bear witness. Maybe your spirit ain't right. Maybe you don't like to give. Oops. Sorry. Hallelujah. But, give and it shall be given unto you. Sometimes you wonder why, you know, it's not given unto you. Praise God. Maybe you're not a giver. Oh, glory to God. And so we want you to be a blessing. You know, I just believe that when I give into ministries or radio broadcast ministries like this, praise the Lord, I believe that I participate in winning souls and winning the lost. Come on. See, you might not be able to reach who I can reach, but when you sow into what we're doing, oh, glory to God, it's like you also receiving the reward for helping that person or that ministry or that radio station who's doing outreach. And so, anyways, we want to encourage you to do that. And that's WWBC. You can also call at 321-632-1000. And let's see. Also, you can reach out at WMIE.com. Click on donation on the donation tab and sow a seed. Amen? All right, praise the Lord. Now, here we go. Without any further delay, as a matter of fact, and if Bishop Carter wants to hit on that, he's more than welcome. All right, how you doing, man of God?
I am doing absolutely positively wonderful. How are you doing today?
Good, good. Now, you better give a shout-out to your wife quickly after I give a shout-out to my wife. I want to thank God for my wonderful wife, Teresa Robinson. I've been married for 33 wonderful years, as a matter of fact. And I remember being beside Bishop
in church. Don't you do that. We're not going to do that today. Let me tell that one.
I'm going to let you tell it then.
Please,
all right.
Let me tell it.
Go ahead.
Yes. And I appreciate God just for this privilege of being here on this morning with this wonderful man of God. Again, we have an extensive relationship. He used to cut my hair when I had hair, but as we can see, I'm no longer going that route. But it was good to have fellowship with a real man of God, because those things are hard to find. Oftentimes in our lives, we found the watered down versions of men of God, but I appreciate God for his stability and his longevity in Christ. We had the wonderful opportunity and privilege of being a part of a service, and in that particular service, there was a messenger, and he said, all of you ladies who are waiting for your man to come, and this woman jumped up, and she went to hollering, and she received the word of God, and me and Apostle Thomas were sitting next to each other, and I tapped him and said, I feel sorry for the man who gets that woman. Well, that is my wife of 22 years now. I am the fortunate recipient of that woman who reached out by faith, and I have been blessed to be married to that wonderful woman of God for the past 22 years. Pastor Celeste, we minister together, and I appreciate God for everything that she is and has helped me to become. So, yes, I wanted to. I'm glad I was. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to go there.
He got it out. We thank God for marriage. My God, marriage. Yes. We thank God. You know, there's revelations. There's things that I begin to understand about the Lord even through marriage.
Yes.
Praise God. But anyways, man of God, hey, take it away. God use you.
Oh, my God. So, the thing, I appreciate you for this opportunity. I was looking at, we're talking about just this resurrection season, and just in overall being able to look at Jesus Christ, who was in the beginning, but we celebrate his beginning, but we have to remember that there is no end. When we look at resurrection, we just look at him from the standpoint of death. So when we celebrate him come Christmas time, you know, we have an expectation of this is his beginning, but even when we celebrate him at Christmas time, that was not his beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was there even in the beginning, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that we consistently see right now as of this day. And we understand that in him at that time was life. So even from the beginning, he was a giver of life. But what I liked about what you said you wanted to talk about, I appreciate God for resurrection in my life, because if you're anything like me, there was a time when people may have written you off. My God. When people prophesied over your life and said, this is not one who will make it X amount of length of life. If this one continues to see life, that life will be one that's spent in prison or in a jail system. So the resurrection is important, and it's important that we don't only see it on one particular Sunday out of the course of a year. When we look at scripture, we have to wrap our minds around the concept to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. I love that word, everything. God is year round. That is his season. His season is not just one particular Sunday. It's not just one particular day. Yeah. God is the giver of life, which is 24/7. And when we only hold him to this one portion or this one time, we miss the full benefit of who he is as God. He's not God only on Sunday. He's not God on Saturday or the day that you decide that you want to call him God. He's not God only when you have a problem. He's not God when things are. He's God in famine. He's God in recession. He's God. And this is what I love about the God that I serve, is that he said in the time of famine. See, we getting caught up in being worried about something coming that the world is speaking about that is due. But this is what I love about famine. In the time of famine, the righteous will be satisfied. Sometimes famine has to happen so that God can get to us what he's always planned and predestined and ordained to get to us. But if it had not been a famine, there was no way that we could have the life and the benefits, because we don't get it in the time when the world is gaining. See, the world is thinking that get it. And we want them to get it, because the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. So they get it. And God says, my people gonna have houses that they didn't build, land that they didn't buy. We're going to come into possession of things. We don't hate when they get those things, because sometimes all they're doing is storing up for us to become recipients of what they're storing up. They're putting it in reserve. Guess what? My God owns the reserve. You can reserve how much you want to, but at the time appointed, God is going to release into our hands what is appointed to us.
My God mighty, God, I'm sitting here. Oh, man, I got to digest this. I was sitting here, man of God, and I was listening to you. And when you begin to talk about even Christmas, because you're so right. Sometimes we limit, and I had never seen it from that perspective, even though I knew that, you know, that wasn't his beginning. But so many of us in the body of Christ, we look at that as his beginning, when we celebrate Christmas or his birth into the world. But man, and so it just reminded me that sometimes we have so many limits upon the Lord. Here's who was that? Martha. Martha came to Christ and said, I know that he shall rise again.
Yes. You know,
first off, she said, if my brother had been here,
my brother would not have died.
Yes. Come on, limit. Limit, because she did not know who he was. She did not know that he was the resurrection. Come on. Glory to God. Okay. And so she put a limit on him. And so many times we spend our entire life walking with the Lord, just limiting him. God is not limited, but come on, but you can put a limit for him concerning your life. Okay, go ahead. I just want to say that.
I'm so glad you said that, because we know him, but we don't know him. Oftentimes what we have to wrap our heads around is that even though he knew Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, he had a relationship with them, even though they knew him, they didn't really know him. Now, here's what you really have to be able to comprehend, is because he says, I'm the resurrection, meaning that at some point in time, you got to get up. And then he says, and the life. First of all, so many people forget that at some point in time, you got to get up. If you stay there, there is no life. And oftentimes what happens to us is that we stay in places God never intended for us to stay, longer than he intended. And it's not that he didn't call you out of it. He called Lazarus by name, and we understand something about Lazarus's name. Lazarus's name means whom God helps. But guess what? Lazarus had to die to self in order to hear the voice of God. Sometimes we have so many things going on in our lives and so many things that we're entertaining. It is not that God is not speaking. God is speaking, but we don't hear, because we are entangled in the affairs of this life. And we're focused on the things that are going on around us so much the enemy's got us scatterbrained. I'm gonna put this over here. You got Bill over here. Don't forget about that Bill over there. Okay, you're going through struggles in your marriage. You're going through struggles in your body. Okay, your kids are acting funny. Okay, your ministry's not growing the way that you thought it was going to grow. We lose sight of who he is. We lose sight of who he is in the valley. But he says, wait, I'm still God in the valley. Look, he says, wait. I'm still God on your deathbed. And even though your brother died, which is a crazy story, because Jesus does not rush to get to him. Even when they send word that Lazarus is sick, Jesus is like, yeah, but I got work to do. I'll get there when I get there. Jesus waits till no one can say that it was anybody but God. Because according to the Jewish standard, that body has to be down and out for 3 days. So they can say it's done. It's a wrap. Okay, so yeah, it was. So he makes it clear. So y'all can't say, oh, no, he was just sleeping for a minute. He says, let me make sure that it's final. It's done. And God will bring you to those final places in your life, to where it's up to nobody but him to turn it around. Nobody.
God, that means, you know, you said this word, no. And when you said that, I begin to think about 1 Corinthians 2:9, because sometimes I hear this verse of scripture misquoted so many times, and it says that, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God, because we were talking about limits, right?
Yes.
The things which God has prepared for them that love him. Now, we always equate that to us, you know, that we haven't seen anything, that we haven't known anything. But then it turns around, because I wanted to say this, because the Spirit of God is the administrator,
yes,
of the gifts and the power,
yes,
of God. Come on. And our problem in the body of Christ is that we spend so, okay, all right, I won't even say that yet.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible says, but God has revealed them,
Jesus,
unto us.
Yes.
Come on, he has revealed them unto us. Come on, so we know some things. And you know, the more you know, the more limits you take off of God.
Yes, my God.
What?
That's true.
By God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So why are we trying to go around the Spirit? Why are we trying to go around the power of God? We're,
yes,
still talking about the resurrection, but why are we trying to go around that power?
Yes.
Come on. Because that power, can I say this here? That power is more than just for jumping and bucking and running around the church. And ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yes.
Praise God. But it's to help us out in our everyday lives.
Yes.
Come on. It's to help us to apply the principles of God that we might,
Jesus,
live this life out. So it's to help us. Come on. It's to help us to be a blessing to other folks. And so, because we don't need the man of God, I almost wanted to call him apostle here. You know, praise God, hallelujah. You know, I know he'd say bishop, but
yes,
I don't,
yeah.
But anyway, and so where was I? But and so it's like, you know, we focus on one day concerning the resurrection. You know, the Bible says that help me, Spirit of the Lord God. The Bible says that there was a great woman, and she constrained. She constrained,
Jesus,
the man of God.
Yes.
Come on. She constrained,
yes,
the anointing. Oh,
yes,
glory to God. As a matter of fact, the Bible says she made room for him.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
My
you
got
to make room for the things that just might save your life or save somebody else's life in your family. My God, up inside. Yeah, I'm telling you, she made room. And,
yes,
and what she made room for, come on. Because we got to realize that, guess what? When somebody got resurrection power, come on. Oh,
my
glory
God.
To God. See, not so much the man, but when you become aware that, come on, guess what? See, I know that this is a prophet also.
My God.
Hallelujah. And so there are times that we got to make room for people that got the gift of carry a certain,
Jesus,
type of anointing. Come on. And so she made room. Not only did she make room, but she constrained him.
My
That's a
God.
Good way of saying she twisted his arm.
Yes.
Come on. That's,
yes,
a good way of saying she tied that joker up. She made it hard for,
yes,
him to pass by.
Yes.
When he would be passing by, she would make the best meal. Come on. I mean, he's trying to pass by, but when you're smelling roast beef, collard greens,
That's
black eyed peas, macaroni and cheese, come on, you got to put the brakes on fried chicken. She constrained him or made it hard for him to pass by with all of that anointing. Come on, she says, I'm going to build this joker a room. I'm going to make room for him. Come on, there was folks that did not make room for Christ or make room for his parents who was about to birth the Christ into this world. Oh, glory to God. And so there was a barn outside, but the barn made room for him.
Yes.
Thank God for the barn house saints that make room for the anointing, the things of God. And so you can't go around the power of God. I'm
going
to just hit this right quick and get right back to the man of God.
No,
but the Bible says, he has revealed unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. But what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world,
come on,
but the Spirit which is of God. Come on. You cannot go around, okay, and because we're talking about the power of God,
yes,
and too many of us are trying to do it in the natural. And I think there's a verse of scripture around here about the natural, but we're trying to do ministry in the natural,
Jesus,
and without his resurrection power operating. Come on. Because the Bible says in the book of Acts that simply when they spoke of the,
yes,
resurrection, that there was grace, which is another word for power, there to heal. Come on. And that's in Acts, I believe, chapter 4. Go ahead, man.
So you said a lot, because when we look at this, we don't want to do an external looking, because a lot of us, our expectation is for someone else to give to us what the Spirit of God freely gives. See, he says that he has revealed to us by his Spirit. And what happens is where we get lost, and God forgive me, where we get lost is we wait for another apostle, We wait for another prophet. We wait for another pastor because we don't want to know him for ourselves. And guess what? When we don't know him for ourselves, what we have down is watered down versions of God's spirit, because man does not always hear the fullness of what God has for you and your life. That's why he tells you, eye has not seen. So you're looking for another vessel to see what I can clearly reveal to you. Now, when they go to talking to you, they may hear in part. Why? Because that's what we do. We hear in part, but God may want to give you the fullness. They didn't hear. They couldn't even imagine that God was going to do something so big that you wouldn't be able to wrap your head around it. And because they couldn't comprehend it, they didn't give you the fullness. But God says, if you just spend time in my word, because his word is spirit. So he says, I'm going to be revealed to you by my spirit what I want to do. And I'm God. I'm not going to reveal to you in part. I'll tell you the fullness of what I want to do. And then I just need you to walk it out in faith. But we become dependent. Why? Because we're lazy. We don't want to read. We don't want to seek first the kingdom of God. We don't want to pray. We don't want to praise. We don't want to worship. We want to go to church, and we want a praise team to take us into the presence. And if the praise team doesn't take us high enough, then it's the praise team's fault that I didn't have enough relationship with God, or that I didn't see that he had already done enough for me, that whether they hit the right note, key, tune, drum beat, or whatever, that I still had enough in me to say, I'm going to praise you in spite of, because nobody else in this room might not know what you've done, but I know what you've done for me. So he says, let me just give it to you in the context of spirit. When the Apostle Paul says, when he says in Romans 12, when he's talking and he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present yourselves living sacrifices. This is what I love about this particular verse of scripture, is because every one of us has experienced the mercies of God. He says, so I'm begging, I'm pleading with you, just based on the goodness of God in your own personal life, that you would become a living sacrifice. Now, here's the one thing about sacrifices. Sacrifice means that you no longer have control over what is about to take place, because you are making yourself a sacrifice. You are saying, whatever you want, do it with me. And so many of us have not reached that place, despite the fact that he's been really that good in our lives. And if we tell the truth of the story, a lot of us technically shouldn't even still be here. But because of his goodness, his mercy, his grace, we have reason to present ourselves as those type of sacrifices, so that he can make us holy, so that we can become acceptable. Because a lot of you said it a little while ago, a lot of what we're offering ain't acceptable to God. Guess what? The standard of the world has become acceptable in the body of Christ. And guess what? We've taken on the identity of the world, so much so that we've started inviting all kind of things into the church that don't even belong. Everybody doesn't have a word for you. And guess what? The 50, the 100, the $100 line, guess what? The $100 line might not be your answer. Guess what? The Bible, scripture, you can get these free now. You ain't even got to pay for this. This is free. You have access to it at all time. And all he needs you to do is just get into it for a minute. And he says, I'll show you I'm God. I'll show you.
3 minutes. Mighty God, mighty God. He'll be back Tuesday. This is Monday. He will be back Tuesday. What he was making reference to is that before I came here, the Lord, recently I was just listening to this guy trying to justify an abomination. He was trying to justify, you know, homosexuality, that is, trans is of God. And so this morning, the Lord sent me to Leviticus chapter 10. And I'm listening to Leviticus chapter 10. I mean, I'm reading Leviticus chapter 10, and it was about Aaron's two sons who offered strange fire. And then Moses began to correct them about what was done, and, not to grieve, not to take off anything. And then God spoke up and said, tell them not to come before me with strong drink. It's a good way of saying drunk. Glory to God. They had been drinking strong wine. They had came before God, because sometimes we wonder why people are are doing what they're doing. Well, let me show you something. Sometimes people are drinking the wine of this world. Mm-hmm. They're drinking the things of this world, and then they come and they try to release that strange fire from the pulpit. Oh, glory to God. Because they're drunk. They're full of the world. Oh, glory to God. And so what happened? The Bible says that the fire of God came out and consumed them. And maybe we'll talk a little bit more about it next time. But this is, thank God, this is the Monday broadcast. You have been listening to Bishop Carter of Rivers of Living Ministry. Oh, glory to God. I'm going to just say located. They got locations in different places all over the place. Amen.
Yes.
And I tune in Tuesday. I'm going to let him give a little bit more information about the ministry and stuff like this. But this is Thomas Robinson, 250 North Babcock. We thank God for you. We want to invite you, out to our Sunday morning services. Start at 11 o'clock. We're located at in Melbourne, 250 North Babcock. Praise God. If you want to reach out to us, and I can't even think of the email address, but you can email me, and I'll just forward it to our church email address. That's TomRob, TomRob, 7662 at gmail.com. All right, we love you. Don't forget, Bishop, we'll be right back. Those listening on social media, don't go nowhere. Praise God, we're going to do more than one setting. All right, God bless. Good evening, and thank you for listening to our broadcast. I want to take a moment and invite you to our marriage conference, March the 16th and 17th. The location is 250 North Babcock, 250 North Babcock. That's Victory International Praise Church, 250 North Babcock in Melbourne, Florida. The Bible says we're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And a lot of times marriages are going through some things because we do lack knowledge. The Bible says to dwell with your spouse according to knowledge. And so we want to give you some knowledge and even some wisdom. And so once again, the address is 250 North Babcock, Melbourne, Florida. We will be starting at 7 p.m. I pray that God will stir the hearts of even the spouses that you don't even believe would be willing to come, that God will stir their hearts to come and to be there. All right, God bless you. We love you.
Welcome to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. This is Denny Nugent with today's question. It comes from 1 Timothy 3, which outlines the qualifications for pastors and elders. One of those qualifications is this: the man must be the husband of one wife. Now, John, a listener wants to know if that statement disqualifies single people from being pastors or elders.
Well, you can't go so far, Denny, as to say that that is a disqualification. I don't think that's the intent there, because the Apostle Paul doesn't appear to have had a wife during most of his ministry. He probably did at one time. Perhaps he was a widower. We assume that because to have reached the status he did in the Jewish world, you had to be married. He did say that a man has a right to lead about a wife in ministry, but that's a right and not a necessity. What it does mean when it says the husband of one wife is that the man who is married must be singularly, fully, and completely faithful to and devoted to the woman who is his wife. This is not so much about marital status, because that wouldn't be a qualification to be an elder, because lots of people are married. This is about marital fidelity. This is about morality. This is about not only the devotion that keeps you from adultery, but the devotion that keeps you from even being interested in another woman in any way. Obviously, including anything like polygamy. So the standard is pretty clear. A man needs to have one wife and be faithful to her. In those cases where there's no wife, obviously that doesn't apply. And this establishes the second point, that he needs to demonstrate that he has led his family well.
Okay, thanks, John. And thanks to you for listening today to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. If you'd like more in-depth teaching from 1 Timothy, visit us at MacArthur.com. We'll be right back.